about the tongue this morning. Let's begin reading James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren and sistren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, listen to this, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. That's a pretty incredible verse. James is saying that, you know, James was the brother of Jesus. And so I imagine there was just a little bit of pressure on James growing up next to Jesus. I mean, you got a brother that could walk on water. You got a brother that could, you know, do whatever. And so, no, I'm teasing. He was the perfect child. And James, I don't know. So James says, if you ever find someone, if you ever meet anybody that doesn't stumble in his words, James says he's perfect. And he's able to bridle his whole body or control or direct his whole body. Now think about that. The lust of the flesh that we all deal with, the lust of the eyes with food, sexual appetites, exercise habits, all of the things that we struggle with in every area of life. He basically says, if you could get your tongue fixed, you'd fix everything else about your life. Now, that's pretty incredible. You get your body fixed. So for those of us that are overweight, like me, it's a tongue problem. I gotta work on my tongue. And I've been tested all week long, so this is a good message. So let me give you four amazing facts about the tongue this morning. Number one, and you should have notes, the tongue is disproportionately, I know that's a big word, is disproportionately powerful. And I didn't put things in there. Disproportionately, I know it's a big word. But it's the most important word in this point. It's disproportionately powerful. Look at verse 3 of James chapter 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, but boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now, in all four of my points today, the adverb is going to be the most important word. Y'all didn't know you were going to get an English lesson when you came to church this morning. The adverb is disproportionately. So the tongue is disproportionately powerful. Powerful is an adjective. Y'all know an adverb modifies a verb, right? But in this case, it's modifying the adjective, and you'll recognize all the words this morning because they end in L-Y. So the tongue is disproportionately powerful. Now, I could have just said the tongue is powerful. That's what I could have said. Could have said the tongue is powerful. But that doesn't quite describe the amazing thing about it, does it? What is amazing, the amazing fact is that the tongue is disproportionately powerful. In other words, it's very small, but it affects a huge change. James tells us that it is amazing that it's so small, but it can do so much damage. Like a bit in a horse's mouth. Now, I didn't know Izzy was going to come this morning, but we've known Izzy for a while, but she likes to ride horses. I don't know very much. I've ridden horses a few times, but I don't know a whole lot about horses. I'm no expert, but I know that that bit that goes in the horse's mouth is just a little tiny piece of metal. And it controls a very large animal, probably 1,500, in some cases 2,000-pound horses that are controlled by this little tiny piece of metal. It controls their strength and the direction. Now think about that. Your tongue can control your strength and your direction in life. I saw this morning somebody posted on Facebook, and it said, I'm not sure if Facebook has ever made the lame to walk, but it sure has allowed the dumb to speak. Come on, your tongue can control the direction of your life. Listen, people all over, I see them, they're taking these strength tests. And I'm talking about finding their strengths, finding out what they're good at and how they do. Let me tell you something. You can take all the strength tests you want, but if you can't control your tongue, it won't matter one bit. Because you won't be able to control the direction of your life without controlling your tongue. Your body will be like a wild horse, out of control, without a bit or a bridle. Look at James 1:26. You can flip back a couple of chapters. James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious. Now the word here, religious, it's a Greek word, and it literally means serving God. So religion in this verse is not the idea of some liturgy or some rules or rituals that we go to. You know, sometimes that's what we classify as religion. But that's not what it means here. It means serving God. If anyone among you thinks he is serving God and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion, their service to God, is useless. I'm going to tell you what, we probably ought to do a study in the book of James. James is one of the most powerful books in the Bible. It blows me away to think that when the early church was canonizing the New Testament, they almost left the book of James out of the Bible. Because James said, faith without works is dead. And so Martin Luther and some of the other early church fathers are like, no, it's a grace through faith alone. It's not plus works. Well, that's not what James was talking about. We'll study that sometime. But James is one of the most powerful books in the New Testament. If you don't bridle your tongue, he said, your service to God is useless. Now, if that doesn't hit us hard this morning, I don't know what will. Because he says, if any one of you is serving God, but you can't control your mouth, then you might as well stop serving God because it is of no use. Like a bit in a horse's mouth. Number two, like a small rudder on a large ship. Anybody ever been on a cruise? I've never been on a cruise other than a river boat cruise. I'd love to take a cruise to Florida or, you know, through the Bahamas or somewhere, but Renee is deathly afraid of water and she won't get on a big boat. So cruises are out for us, but some of you have been on cruises. But think about how large those ships are. And in comparison, the rudder that turns that ship is very small. My uncle was a Navy captain, lived in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and we would go up and visit him. I went up there probably two or three times my whole life. But when we would go, Uncle Gerald would always take us out on the boat. And he would always get us out in his sailboat, and he would tell stories about being in the Navy. I think he retired maybe just one step below an admiral or something. He was lifelong Navy. And it was an awesome experience. I was about 5 years old the first time that I went out on the boat, and I loved it. But I remember that my uncle would say that when sailing a large vessel, like a cruiser or some kind of a big ship in a storm, you have to sail the vessel in the right direction or else the boat will capsize. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you're not sailing the boat in the right direction against the winds, against the storms, your boat's going to turn over. Listen to me. Many people's lives capsize because their tongue doesn't face them in the right direction during life's storm. Come on, your tongue is the rudder of your life. And if your tongue is not moving you in the right direction against the storm, your life will capsize. and people are in messes all over the place, and they don't understand if they would keep their mouth shut and control their tongue, that their life would be so much better. Now, there's obviously times we have to speak up. But when things aren't going your way and you just begin to lash out at anybody and everybody and say all these things, your life will end up like a boat that's upside down. It's how important the tongue is. And it doesn't matter if it's just in a storm. See, it matters for your whole life, even in good weather. Even in good weather. I was talking to a friend of ours that they had gone out on the lake and they'd gone boating, and the rudder on their boat broke. And they were trying to steer the boat and they couldn't steer it. And they were trying to get over to this little island spot or a beach spot that they were going to stop and let the kids out and swim. But the rudder broke. And so the boat just kept on going. They couldn't do anything about it. And the next thing they knew, they ended up in the rocks. Good weather. Beautiful day. But without the rudder, your life can still end up on the rocks. Come on, we've got to control our tongues. His third example that James gives is it's like a small spark that can start a large forest fire. Careless words can destroy ourselves and others. This past April, Renee and I celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary, coming up on 20 in April of this year. And we went for a few days to Gatlinburg for our anniversary and just got away for a few days, had a great time. And we decided that we were going to drive up to Obergatlinburg. Anybody ever been up there, Obergatlinburg? And we were going to go ice skating or just walk around up there and look at the view. And we made the long drive all the way up there and realized that it was closed. Because the previous year, you remember, they had all those forest fires. Some careless teenagers out goofing off and set the thing on fire. And we should have known that we couldn't get up there because of the fire. Because as we looked around the hillside, you could look and you'd see these huge swaths of just nothing but black, charred mess where trees, and there was no life where the fire had been. Buildings that were burned down, just frames of houses that just nothing really there. Hotels and restaurants that were totally burned down. People's lives totally uprooted because of a forest fire. And James says that our tongues can do the exact same thing in people's lives. With our words, we can destroy whole lives if your mouth is left unchecked. Now, I know that the last couple of messages have been a little bit heavy, and so, but it's good for us to be convicted about where we're living and where our mouths are. But I promise that the last couple of messages in this series on words are going to be very uplifting, and you're going to get a lot out of them. And so stick around. Don't be run off. Number one, tongue is disproportionately powerful. Number two, the tongue is inherently evil. There's your adverb again, inherently. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Wow. It is set on fire by hell. Verse 7. All right, let's go on to verse 8. Verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's your tongue. That's my tongue. It is a world of iniquity. And again, I could have said the tongue is evil and left it at that. But that's not the amazing thing about the tongue. The amazing thing about the tongue is that it is inherently evil. Y'all know what inherently means, don't you? That means we inherited it. You were born this way. None of us was born perfect. Come on, you didn't have to teach your kids to say mean things, did you? We have to teach them. Lisa, she got 14 of them running around. She knows. She didn't have to teach them to be mean. You got to teach them to be nice. You got to teach them to say please and thank you. You don't have to teach them to be brats. They just born that way. They're good at it. Come on, and we were born with evil tongues. That's all of us. It's an inherited trait. We don't have to learn it. It's the default setting. Anybody ever bought something and it starts to go haywire and you have to reset it? You have to go back to the default settings. You got to go back to the beginning. The tongue's default setting is to destroy. Unless we change the default setting, it will damage rather than do good. I'm sorry, every time I think of resetting the thing, all I can see is Toy Story where they reset Buzz Lightyear and they're messing up and they get, and all of a sudden he starts speaking Spanish and turns into Casanova. Well, your tongue's default setting is evil. We've got to have a reset. We need God to reset our tongues. You don't believe me that that's the way it is? Think back to junior high. Some of you are in junior high. Some of you are already crying just by me bringing up junior high. Come on, what you know, when you're in what, junior high or high school, whatever physical differences you had, whether you were short, whether you were tall, whether you had braces, whether you had glasses, clothing, whatever it was, you were going to be acknowledged for your differences. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Joseph, I put up that picture that I've got in there, that shirt. This is my junior high torture moment. Y'all see that beautiful little loop there on the back of the shirt? In fact, I'm wearing one shirt that has it on there today. Does anybody know what that shirt is called? I mean, what that little tag is called? It's actually called a locker loop. It was designed by sailors so that they could hang their shirts up on the fish hooks on the boat when they were working. They could take their shirts off and hang them up or hang them in a locker without the whole shirt getting wrinkled. When I was in junior high, I'm in therapy for this, so y'all just... When I was in junior high, all of the kids at school started wearing the Ralph Polo Oxford type shirts like this. And the Ralph Polo shirts did not have, Ralph Lauren Polo shirts did not have that tag. My mother was not going to spend $100 on a shirt. I don't blame her. Instead, I get tortured. No, she bought the off-brand, JCPenney or whatever they sold. They had the tag. And all through my sixth and seventh years, every time I'd be standing in line, somebody come up behind me and they'd grab that tag and they'd yank it. I went home with two or three ripped shirts. Some kids got in trouble, but they called it the fag tag. If you had that shirt, you were a fag. You got the fag tag. Now, I'm not a fag. I never was and never will be. But I did not... And I was so mad at my mom. Can't you just buy me one stinking shirt that doesn't have this stuff? I'm sorry, kids in here. But kids can be cruel with their tongues. That's, sorry. Like I said, I'm in therapy. I'm getting over it. I overcame. I'm wearing mine today. So the tongue is evil. The tongue is evil, and it doesn't matter. Your situation can be totally different. Mine's silly. Yours could be something really bad. It wasn't silly to me at the time, though. Well, number one, the tongue is disproportionately powerful. The tongue, number two, is inherently evil. Number three, the tongue is humanly untamable. The tongue is humanly untamable. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. So James says, come on, every kind of bird, every kind of beast, they in some way have been tamed by man. And I want you to understand that the word mankind is the same word that he uses for man in verse 8. He's not talking about just men. This is the whole human race. This is men and women. So I know that all the ladies think that it's the guys that have a tongue problem, but come on, it's the whole human race. Verse 8, but no mankind, no man or woman can tame the tongue. No human. Come on, it's all of us. Where there's male, there's female. When there's a fee with that one. So anyway, okay. I told y'all Renee's not in here. I can say what I want. Well, when it says that no man can tame the tongue, it's talking about the ladies too. So the tongue is humanly untamable, but it is divinely tameable. It's humanly untamable, but it's divinely tameable. Come on, God is able to tame your tongue. Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before or since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. I have a stutter. And the Lord said to Moses, who made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now that's a verse that will mess with some people's theology, to think that God makes both the seeing and the blind, the mute and the deaf. God says, I do it. Nobody else in this room's created anything. Nobody else in this room has made a mouth. Nobody else in this room has made a tongue. Don't tell me you can't speak, Moses. I made your mouth. Come on, how many parents have ever said that to their kids? Don't tell me. Well, I made you and I'll make another one. Ship you off and make another one. I know none of the parents in here have ever said that to their children. It's all those other people that go to all those other churches. Now, come on, we're going to spend, in a couple of weeks, we're going to spend a whole message about the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. Look at verse 12 of Exodus 4. Now, therefore, go, God tells Moses, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will say. And I want you to think about this. We're going to look in Acts chapter 2 and how the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. But think about this. The very first thing that God did to the early church was change their tongues. The very first thing that God wants to do to you and I after we get saved is change our tongues. The only way your tongue will change is when you submit your tongue to the Holy Spirit. To me, it's amazing that probably the most controversial subject in the body of Christ surrounds the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who do you think creates that controversy? It's not God. Come on, the Bible says that the tongue is set on fire by hell itself. The devil doesn't want us to get control of our tongues. He wants to set our tongue on fire with the fire of hell. Hell wants to occupy your mouth. Come on, think about it. Hell wants to control what you say. Now, let me tell you something. Y'all need to be set free with this morning. Let me explain something to you about the devil. The devil can't really hurt you. He has no authority other than the authority that God gives him. He has no real power to hurt you. That I know the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He'd like to kill you. He'd like to destroy you, but he only has as much authority as God allows him and as the sin we have in our life opens the door for him to come in. The devil can't really hurt you. But listen to me. But he does try to get you to turn your mouth against yourself and kill yourself. If he can control your tongue, he can destroy your life. Every time you speak, we've said it, Proverbs 18, 21, every time you speak, you're either allowing life in or death in by your words. But come on, when we submit our tongues to the Holy Spirit, He will teach us what to say. Come on, this is exactly how we learn to speak life. He teaches us what to say. Let's look at number four. Number one, the tongue is disproportionately powerful. Number two, it's inherently evil. Number three, it's humanly untamable. But number four, the tongue is contrastingly, oh, it's another big word, contrastingly productive. Look at verse 9. With the tongue we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren and sistren, these things ought not be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Come on, it's all about the adverbs. I told you, it's all about the adverbs. The tongue is powerful. No, it's disproportionately powerful. We just said the tongue is evil. No, the tongue is inherently evil. There's nothing you can do about it. Your tongue's evil, whether you like it or not. The tongue is untamable, humanly. The tongue is contrastingly productive. Come on, what he's saying is the tongue can do something that even nature can't do. Because our tongues are able to produce good and bad at the same time. He says even nature can't do that. Come on, a fig tree can't bear olives and a grapes can't produce figs. Oranges don't make apples. Strawberries don't make bananas. It can't happen. Good and water can't both come. I mean, good and bad water can't both flow from the same opening. He says it's bad. When it's bad, it ought not be that way. But the tongue, he says, can bless and curse. It's contrastingly productive. Come on, let me just say, please don't do that. Come on, let's not be people that do that. Let's not be people that bless and curse. Come on, let me tell you how it happens. It happens in church, even in churches as great as ours. It happens. We bless God, come in here and worship, have a great service, and then we walk out the door and start bad-mouthing somebody. We talk about our brother or sister in church. Something they did, something they didn't do, something they said. Some way we're going to judge them. James says that should not happen. be. But we can't be those kind of Christians. We can't talk out of both sides of our mouth. Let me read you James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to read it from the Message. Now, I don't study out of the Message. I don't preach out of the Message. But sometimes getting a different translation or a different paraphrase of the Bible helps you to hear it in a whole new way. Excuse me, and understand something. He titled this in the Message, "When You Open Your Mouth." When you, Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. All the teachers said amen. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of their life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next. Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water. It's pretty clear. It was pretty clear in the New King James, but it's even more clear in modern day talk. Now, like I said, we've had a lot of bad news over the last couple of Sundays talking about the sins of our mouth. But we're going to be looking at some messages about the tongue in the next couple of weeks, talking about the pure language of God that are going to really help you and really bless you. But come on, here's the good news, or even more good news. The tongue is contrastingly productive. It can do a lot of bad. But come on, it can also do a lot of good. But it all depends on who has control of it. The tongue can curse, but it can also bless. And I've told you before, if your life's not moving in the direction that you want it to be moving in, you've got to learn to bless. You've got to learn to begin to speak blessings out of your mouth. Come on, you can bless your marriage. You can bless your children. You can bless your house. You can bless your home. You can bless the car that you don't have that you're wanting and praying for. You can bless the job that you don't have that you need. You can bless. The Bible says Abraham spoke those things that were not as though they were. You begin to speak blessing. It's the power of blessing and not cursing. But if you walk around all the time wringing your hands and saying how bad your situation is, guess what? If that's what you're sowing, that bad is what you're going to reap. My kids aren't acting the way I want them to act. Quit harping on them about how bad they're acting and start blessing how good they can be. Come on, the Bible says that we're blessed as we come in, blessed as we go out, blessed in the city, blessed in the country. He didn't say your whole life was going to be sunshine and roses all the time, but you're going to be blessed. And if you know you're blessed, you walk in the blessing, you declare the blessing. And God is able to take the words of your mouth and bring life and blessing instead of death and cursing. When we were pastoring the church in Flemingsburg, I told you we had one young family. We had no instruments other than Renee could play the keyboard, and we had one man that could strum a guitar, but he didn't know any of the chords, so it didn't really do much good. He was a great, really sweet guy. But we didn't have any of that. We didn't have any teachers to help do it. I mean, we didn't have anything. But God took me to some teaching by John Kilpatrick on blessing and on what blessing is and the mystery and the power of the blessing. And so when I'd get up in the morning and I'd walk across the church parking lot and go to pray, I was in there and I was praying for the church, and I was, God, you know, I'm kind of thinking, God, we don't have all the things that we didn't have. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, stop cursing what you don't have and start blessing what I want to give you. That seems foreign to people. It seems foreign. And it is. It is. And Peter said that we should bless and not curse. He says, contrarywise, you were called to bless. And so you need to learn to bless. You begin to speak. And so I began to bless. And I said, God, I thank you that every seat in this church is filled. I thank you, God, for instruments. God, I thank you for a drummer. God, I thank you for a piano player. God, I thank you for Sunday school teachers. God, I thank you for kids. Everything that I saw that we didn't have, I began to just bless it. And I just began to thank God for it before we even saw it. You know that within a month, I've probably told y'all this story 2 or 3 times, but that's okay. I'm telling the story, so I'll tell it again. Within a month, we had a lady's granddaughter started attending the church. She had gone to Juilliard for piano. And she shows up, and here I was trying to lead worship at this point. I never played instrument in my life, and God helped me, and I'm trying to chord and play, bless those people. But she showed up, and man, I mean, she could play circles around me. You know, she could play tiddly, whatever, twinkle, twinkle, little star, and make it sound like Chopin, and you know, here I'm just whatever. She began to play on the worship team. And then before long, we had some other young families that came in. And then God blessed our church, and this lady came, and she called us, and she said, would you be interested in helping to feed children? We had started running the church van and picking up kids around the county. And at this point, we had about, 30 or 40 kids. And all of a sudden, God was getting ready to take things to a whole nother level. We started an after-school program. God opened the doors for us to build a kitchen and change the back end of our building and make this a place where kids could come. And they did after-school stuff, and we fed them, and we clothed them, and we loved on them. And before long, we had over 160 children and teenagers. This lady called us, and God's Pantry is a ministry out of Lexington, and they started sending us pallets of food. We didn't even have to go pick it up. They dropped it off in our parking lot. We started putting it in the freezer, and we were feeding all the children. And they still have the kid, we called it Kids Cafe. They still have Kids Cafe at the church there in Flemingsburg right now. Why? I know that it was because we began to bless and not curse. We stopped complaining about what we didn't have, and we started blessing what we knew God wanted to do. See, it's not just about I want a new car, and so I'm going to go out my door and say, God, I thank you. You're giving me a Mercedes-Benz, I think, and I name it, claim it. That's not what we're talking about. But if you have a real need to have a car to get to work, God wants you to have a car. And if you don't have the money, you don't have the car, you don't have the means, you just begin to bless it. And you start saying, God, I thank you. I don't know where the money's coming from. I don't know where the car is coming from. But God, I thank you that you're bringing it to me. I thank you you're blessing my family. You know that I want to work. You know that I'll come on. You understand what I'm saying? And you just start blessing. Stop cursing it and getting angry at it and start blessing it. Don't get on Facebook and tell everybody your problems. Just bless it. I thank you, God, that I have a job. I thank you, God, that my children are serving you. I thank you, God, whatever it is that you need. And listen to me, God will take the words of your mouth and He will bring life. And the situation that you're facing will change because of what you're saying. It happens. It will happen. But it won't happen if we continue to use our tongues for evil. Amen? It won't happen as long as we continue to curse the situation that's going on around us in our life. Let's all stand up. And if you need prayer this morning, we're going to pray for you at the end. But you know, really, in all honesty, as you leave this morning, changes can happen when we pray for people and lay hands on them. But the greatest change is going to happen is when we accept the Word of God that's been preached and we put it into practice. James 1:22 says, don't just be hearers of the Word and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Put it into practice. And so as you walk out of here today, come on, let's make this our prayer. That number one, we are going to control our tongues the way God wants us to control them. That number two, we're going to bless and we're not going to curse. And that number three, we're going to believe that what we begin to bless, God is going to bless. And we're going to see it come to pass in our life. Come on, are you with me this morning? Come on, lift your hands up to the Lord all over this room. Come on, just begin to ask the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment, God. We want to seal this word in our heart. And so, God, help us. Lord, we make a covenant with you, God, that we will watch our mouths, that, God, we will say what you want us to say. Lord, that we will let you teach us, Lord, how to use our tongues. Lord, that our tongues won't be full of evil, full of poison, but that, Lord, our tongues will be changed by the changing power of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, our words will be words of blessing. Our words will be words of life. And so, God, we come together. We covenant with you, God, that we will do the word. We will do what your word says. And that, Lord, we will speak blessing. And so, Lord, right now I pray for situations all over this room. Lord, people that need cars, that need jobs, need help, need family changes, need relationship changes. God, we just speak life. Lord, we bless our church. Come on, bless your family right now. Lord, we bless, Lord, families in this church. We bless every husband, every wife. We bless every child. God, we thank you that our church is blessed. We thank you, God, that we have enough nursery workers, that we have enough, Lord, preschool teachers. God, I thank you that we have new instruments and, Lord, new people to be on the worship team. God, I thank you that every seat in this place is filled. Lord, that it's filled to overflowing. Lord, two times, three times, four times. Lord, I thank you that the finances are coming in, Lord, to do the work. Come on, just bless the church right now. Come on, bless it with me. God, we bless the person on our right and on our left. God, we bless each one that's here. We bless Children's Church. We bless Pastor Matt and Stephanie, Lord, as they lead that. Lord, bless Renee as she's with the kids this morning. God, bless our church. Bless our families, God. Lord, we bless our children. We call their names out before you, God. And we thank you, Jesus, Lord, that our families are being blessed. Lord, I thank you. Any need that is, Lord, that is represented in this room, Lord, we bless that need. And God, we thank you that you're bringing in the finances. You're bringing in the, Lord, the things that people need for jobs or, Lord, whatever the situation is, to pay off a bill, to get out of debt. Lord, we thank you. We bless our bodies, God. Lord, help us to obey you in how we eat and exercise. Lord, that truly, Lord, our mouths would be the, Lord, the way that we find life. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you, God. Lord, touch your church today. Lord, be with each one. Lord, bless us. Lord, as we go home right now, Lord, help us. Let the words of our mouth, Lord, be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Why don't you hug three people, and you can be dismissed. God bless you. Royal Rangers tonight at 5. If you've got kids, Boys and Girls Club at 5, we'd love to have them. Have a great week.